this opportunity that I have to stand before you and deliver a message from God's Word. And as always, I pray that the things that I have to say will be in accordance to His Word. And if there's anything that is not, I bid you to please bring it to my attention. This lesson was given by Brother Steve Klein. I don't think he's ever preached it here. I heard it recently, and he was gracious enough to share it, his outline, with me. It was one that I needed when I heard it. And I thought I would love to be able to share that the next time I'm able to speak. And so Rex had asked me to do so, so I thought I would do that this evening. Over in Psalms chapter 51, if you'd like to turn there, please. This is a prayer of repentance. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in your inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me know to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering, that they shall offer bulls on your altar. Psalms 51 is what David prayed when he repented. In fact, this is the prayer of repentance. It is a prayer in which David pleads for a clean heart. It's a prayer that all people should pray. Why? Because we're all guilty of sin. Maybe not David's sin, but we are guilty of sin. You're ugly inside. You're dark inside. Because you have been defiled inside. It's the inside that needs cleansing. It's the inside that needs purifying. It's the inside that needs renewing. So what we need to understand at the beginning of this lesson is, as we are pleading for a clean heart, is that sin starts in the heart. The reason we need a clean heart is the reason we are so miserable in there is because it's the heart that's the problem. Well, as we stated, sin starts in the heart. In Mark chapter 7, verses 21 and 23, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Where did David's sin start? David's sin started in his heart as well. Look over in 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. And we know the story of David and what happened. Well, notice in Proverbs 6, verse 25, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. Look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Where did that sin start? In the heart. And that's what he is warning us of here in the New Testament. What about Simon the sorcerer? Sin started in his heart. You know, when Philip was there and he was preaching to those round about, and Simon also believed, and he was baptized. But look over in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 19. And when Simon saw through the laying on of hand, apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. He wanted that power. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. It started in his heart. Sinful man's need for a new heart is because he'll die spiritually without it. There are those who are doomed to die physically unless their heart is replaced. It was in 1967 that Christian Bernard had performed the first heart transplant in Cape Town, South Africa. And to this day, there are many people who have someone else's heart beating inside of them. What if they hadn't have gotten that heart? They would have died. There are those who are spiritually dead in sin, or they're headed that way, whose hearts are black and diseased, sick to death, who are not going to live unless their heart is transplanted, spiritually speaking. The good news is that God does this surgery. Israel would die spiritually without a new heart. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 30 and 32, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. You want life? You don't want to die spiritually from that black heart that's inside. Then you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn away from the sins that got you in that position you're in right now, so that God may give you a clean heart. And that's what he had told the house of Israel long ago. And I believe that principle of repentance carries over into the New Testament age. Oh, God can transplant that heart. He can fix it up just fine, and he does it all by his grace, love, and his mercy. But you have to accept. You have to accept it by believing in him and turning away from sin. And until you do that, the operation is not possible. I guarantee you, once you have that transplant, you cannot continue to eat the cholesterol-charged things that you have been eating all these years. Your lifestyle has got to change. And so it is spiritually the same, except principle is true of sinners today. Romans chapter 2 verse 3, and do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long suffering, and knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? You know, in this first few verses, God is good to you. God is good to me. He has given us another day to live so that you can come to the understanding and realization to turn from your sins. He has given us this opportunity today. He promised us tomorrow, today. Then in verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Is our hearts that hard that we can't repent? The day of judgment is coming. Spiritual life is not going to be granted to those who don't repent. And all you're doing by continuing to live with a black and guilty heart is guaranteeing eternal death. There's only one way to get out of that, and that is through repentance. That's the message in Ezekiel, and that's the message in Romans, and the message throughout the scriptures. As we stated before, God's the one that can give us this heart transplant. He's the one that can give us this new heart that we need. The new hearts will be greater devotion to keeping God's law. This would be the result of Israel. Over in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20, then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I'm not sure as to that promise is not directed to this age. I kind of think it is. Because look over in the New Testament, we can see in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in this futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, and the true righteousness and holiness. What is this process that God uses to cleanse our hearts? Psalms 51 and verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, is what David asked for. Initially, we receive a new heart through a process of faith and obedience. The discussion in Acts chapter 15 and verse 9 is about the gospel going to non-Jews, Gentiles, and pagans. And then in verse 9, it says, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. No distinction was made. It all started with faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. You want a pure heart? Then start believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the atonement for your sins. You know, it's easy to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's another thing to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's easy to say, I believe He died on the cross. It's another thing to know He died for you and for your sins. You know, it's not dependent on how bad your heart is or what is staining it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, do you not know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You know, I've personally, just as many of you, I'm sure, have heard someone say, I'm doing so many things that are wrong that I just don't think I can live according to God's Word. Of course you don't. Because your heart is not right is why you think that way. It's still black and it's still diseased. See how it is with a heart transplant from God. When God gives you something to live for, it's a whole different experience. If any man is in Christ, the apostle says, he is a new creature because he has a new heart. Your whole inner man is changed. You're motivated to keep God's law. And you put away things that caused it to be black and diseased. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and circle the words, and such were some of you. And such were some of you. Here's the fact. God takes sinners and turns them into saints. God is in the life-changing business. He gives spiritual heart transplants. He takes that which is dirty and cleans it up. He takes that which is broken and fixes it. He takes that which is seared and repairs it. Christians will receive cleansing when we ask and we trust God. The reason cleansing, to receive cleansing, we must repent, we must confess, and we must ask in faith and trust God that He's going to help us. To receive cleansing, David confessed his sin and asked for forgiveness. That's what Psalms 51 was all about. 1 John in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So whatever that darkness is in your heart that you just feel will never leave, I believe this right here covers it. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pretty self-explanatory. We need to believe God. We need to believe His Word. We need to trust God for forgiveness. And many of us suffer from heart problems because we didn't have the faith that God has forgiven us. I think that affects a lot of us. I know it did me in times past. It really did. You just say, well, God, you know, I keep falling back and back. I can't never make any, you know, like I take two steps forward and whatever that saying is, and I take so many back. But God forgives us. If we repent, if we truly repent, you know, whatever the sin is in your life, or maybe it's not sin. Maybe it's that you have so many cares of this life in your heart that there's no room for God. I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you. If you think that you cannot have forgiveness and that you cannot make things right with God, I'm sorry. You have got serious heart problems. Because God is giving us that opportunity. Each and every one of us. As we stated at the beginning of the lesson, have no hope of tomorrow. Why are we letting pride get in our way? Why are we letting stubbornness get in our way? Why are we letting something in the past bog us down so that we don't want to do what's right in God's sight? Do you want to spend eternity in hellfire? I don't. And I know none of you do. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Luke 21, verse 34. That day is coming. We do not know when it's coming, so we've got to be prepared. Period. Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, whatever it is that's holding you back from doing what's right and what you need to do, God can transplant a new, clean heart within you. We've been given this opportunity tonight to worship God. And we've also been given this opportunity tonight to make things right with God. Is your heart right with God? If it's not, I beg you, the brothers and sisters here beg you, God begs you, make things right as together we stand and sing.